So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, our subject for today is our enemies. Now, we have enemies, yes. And those enemies, the reason they are called enemies, because if we follow them, if we listen to them, if we do what they ask us to do or what they motivate us to do, then we're going to hell. That's why they are called enemies. Okay. Now they are, we're going to handle these names, these enemies. We're going to learn about these enemies after we learn about why did Allah create. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created because one of his names is the Creator. The Creator, and if he doesn't create, then it's one of two things. Either his name is useless or his name is false. And it's not appropriate for His Majesty to have a false name or useless name. So he has to create. And that's his nature, that he creates and he continuously creates and he doesn't stop creating. That's his nature. That's who he is, creator. Okay. And so he created for that specific reason. Now, the second question comes about creating human beings and jinn in particular, that they spread corruption and shed blood. You know, you look at all these wars that happen, 176 million people were killed in previous centuries, wars. World War One, World War Two, and 72 major wars that happened to took place, and the Hitler, Mao, Stalin, spreading communism. Communism by itself killed 60 million people. Atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, all these deaths, all these wars caused the death of 176 million people during past century. So why did Allah create humans? And he could have just created angels and trees that will cause no corruption or shed blood. Okay, why not just angels and trees? Because there are other names of Allah that will not become true or useful unless he creates a creation that has a free will to choose between right or wrong. And if they choose wrong, then they can repent and ask Allah for forgiveness, and then Allah will forgive them. Okay, Allah will never turn away someone who's asking for forgiveness. Allah forgives the ones who sincerely ask for forgiveness. So now, angels don't need forgiveness. Trees don't need forgiveness. So in order for the name of Allah, the most forgiving, to be true, there has to be a creation that has a free will to choose between right and wrong. And when they choose wrong, they come back and ask for forgiveness. They ask Allah for forgiveness, and He forgives them, then His name, the most forgiving, becomes true. So we have enemies, evil motives. Evil motives are our enemies. And evil motives, shaitan is number one. Okay. Shaitan inspires us with evil thoughts and evil ideas. Our evil temptations, our temptations also is a driving force, is a motive for us to do bad things. Lower desires, excessive love of this dunya, like you love the pleasures of this life more than you love Allah, because nobody who doesn't live the pleasures of this life? Like you, everybody likes a big home, nice cars, money. But if this love is more than when the love of Allah, then you are in trouble. But if it's less than the love of Allah, then it's okay. So that's why it's excessive love is of this dunya, of this life, of the pleasures of this life is the problem, not just the love, the excessive love. Okay, that makes people wanna have bigger homes and better things than they own better things, increase their property, and don't pay attention to Allah's duties, the duties imposed on them by Allah. Okay, so this excessive love of this life is a bad motive. Inclinations also is another bad motive, that you follow your inclination. Sometimes your inclination motivates you to do bad things, and you just follow the inclinations, and then you don't care about if it's good or bad. Love of pleasure and hate of pain. Love of pleasure and hate of pain. For example, fasting. Fasting causes pain, and the people who hate pain, sometimes that becomes a driving force for them to skip fasting or skip their prayers because they think it's too much commitment. And in this case, that is a bad motive. That's an evil motive. Love of pleasure. People might do anything to do bad, to get the pleasure, whether it's halal, which is allowed by Allah, or haram, which is forbidden by Allah, they don't care. They just want to get the pleasure regardless. If it's money, owning money, they don't care if they own money from halal or haram. They just want to own money because it causes them pleasure. Evil temptations, just like anger, greed, jealousy, ego, power hungry, hunger for power. Okay, these are all selfishness, greed. All these are evil temptations that tend that in that causes us to motivate us to do bad things, to satisfy our temptations. Okay. So these are our enemies that we hate. Now, why did Allah create the shaitan and his other enemies? And this is an important question, very, very important question. Why did Allah create the shaitan and his other enemies? I will say that why did Allah allows evil to take place? Because if there is no evil, there is no good. In order for us to have good, evil has to exist. In order for us to have good deeds, bad deeds have to exist. Without bad deeds, then good deeds would never exist. So Allah allows evil to take place. He's not responsible of evil. We are the responsibility of evil falls on the shaitan and us. We are the ones who are responsible of the evil deeds. Allah allows them to take place because it's part of the free will that He will not stop us or force us to do good deeds or bad deeds. So they are available for us as a test, as a trial, so that we can have a free will. Without having evil, then we don't have a free will, because the only available choice is going to be good. And in this case, good is going to be the norm. So bad will never exist. Evil is never going to exist. So we need to keep that in mind. Okay. And it's part of the purpose of life, which is a free will, which is I have to have the evil option available, the bad deeds option available for me. And I get to choose the good deeds, okay, and instead of choosing the bad deeds. And that is the test and the trial, which is part of the purpose of life. Okay. Now, another reason for creating the shaitan and the enemies, Allah created his enemies, is because they are the ones who are going to be responsible of these bad deeds. Okay, so the source of the bad deeds, they are the ourselves, our evil temptations, our desires, our lower desires, the shaitan, the enemies that we just talked about. These are the evil, the ones, the evil motives are the source of the evil deeds and the bad deeds. Okay. Now, there is another reason, which is that in order to recognize Allah, we have to see the comparison, contrast. Contrast is very important. Now, this is contrast is another reason for Allah to create the shaitan and to make it possible for evil deeds to take place. Because to recognize the generosity of Allah, we have to suffer from the stinginess of the shaitan. And then when Allah says to us, I am generous, yes, we know now what does it mean to be generous. Why? Because we have suffered from stinginess. So now we understand and we know what generous is. And when Allah says, I am the most generous, then we appreciate that and we know what is it. Okay. But if there is no stinginess at all, then generosity would not exist. There would be no generosity. So when Allah says, I'm generous, we say, well, what does it mean to be generous? We don't understand. What do you mean that you are the most generous? Isn't generosity is the norm? The norm is generosity. Okay? Just like if I give you a piece of chocolate, if there is nothing called sour and everything is sweet, and I give you a piece of chocolate and I ask you after you eat it, how did you find it? Was it sweet or sour? And sour does not exist. So you will answer me and say, well, it's normal. You're not going to say it's sweet. You're going to say it's normal. Say, oh, it's normal. So it's not sour. They will say, what sour is? We don't know what sour. It's normal. It's just normal. Tastes normal. Just like the day and the night. In order for the day to exist, night has to exist. And in order to appreciate the light, we have to compare to the darkness of the night. So now, if it's always light and there's no darkness, and we say Allah is the light of heavens and earth, then we are not going to be one of the names of Allah, An-Nur, also the light. We're not going to be appreciating this name because, yes, there Allah is the light, but is there anything else other than light that we will not be able to understand? So by contrast, Allah, we can understand Allah's name by contrast. So the contrast, the opposite have to exist in order for us to see. So we suffer from the selfishness of the shaitan. We suffer from the greed of the shaitan. We suffer from all these evil and bad things. So when the good things come, by contrast, when the good things come, we have contrast. We can use contrast to figure it out. Okay. Why did Allah create the shaitan and his other enemies? We answered this. Okay. We, in order for us that to have a free will, we must have evil motives and good motives, and we get to select the good motives and stay away from the evil motives. There are other creations of Allah that have no evil motives at all, like the angels of Allah, like the trees. The trees don't have evil motives, but let's say living creation of Allah that don't have evil motives are the angels. Would angels ever do good, bad deeds? No. There is no motive or temptations at all for them. There is no, it doesn't happen that they do evil things or make evil choices. It doesn't happen because they don't have evil motives. They don't have temptations. They are pure from these things. So they are not being tested, and they don't go to Jannah, and they don't go to hell. They don't get rewarded, or they get punished because they are not being tested. Okay? We are being tests, and the tests we go through is that are called test of submission. We are given a test of submission, called test of submission. Test of Islam means test of submission, and Islam means submission, test of submission. For example, in Ramadan, okay, in Ramadan, I get good motives and bad motives. The bad motives that says don't eat, our temptations, don't fast. I'm sorry, don't fast. Fast is going to make you tired. Fasting is going to make you angry, I mean grumpy. Fasting is going to make you cause pain to you. Okay? And on the other hand, the good motives, it says fast because it's a worship to Allah, you go to Jannah. Okay? You go to Jannah. So, fasting, you get to choose between the good motives and the bad motives. Okay? You get to choose which way you want to go. So that is a test of submission. Okay? And you decide, you make the choice, and based on these choices, you are showing the truth about yourself. You're showing who are you, who you are. You're showing who you are by making good choices or bad choices. You're showing the truth, so about yourself. And this is one of the most important reasons for the tests of submission, is to show the truth about you. So you demonstrate who you are. So the good person will show and demonstrate his goodness or her goodness because they make the good choices always, okay, or most of the time. The bad person would show his badness, okay, and his evil by making the choices, the bad choices, most of the time. Okay, by failing these tests of submission. So you're basically showing the truth about yourself. So in the day of judgment, Allah doesn't allow us, by the way, in this life, Allah doesn't allow us to say we are believers without being tested. We're believers because Allah wants to show the truth about us. And to show the truth about us, we need to be tested. Okay? And we need to show who truly, who we are, truly show the truth about us. So when the day of judgment, nobody is going to say and say, claim I'm a believer, without showing that he made the right choices. Okay? So the truth, then Allah is going to say, well, you're not a believer because look what happened because of this one, two, three, four, five things. Look at these, like many, many, so many things that you, so many choices, evil choices and bad choices that you have. You have so much evil and bad choices that shows that you are an evil or bad person. Okay? So it's basically you're showing who you are by making selections in these tests of submissions. Okay? And so the shaitan, for example, the shaitan who was living in heaven with the angels, shaitan is created of fire, angels created of light. Shaitan is created from smokeless fire, and shaitan is having a free will like us to worship, to make the right decision, or to make the evil decision. And he used to worship Allah, despite that he has a free worship, free will. He used to worship Allah like an angel. And everybody was impressed about the shaitan because he's worshiping Allah like an angel, but he's not an angel. He has the evil motives. Okay? He has the evil motives. He's not an angel, but he worships like an angel. So everybody was wowed and impressed about him, and everybody honored him. But Allah knew the truth about him. So Allah wanted to show everybody the truth about this shaitan. Okay? And the way Allah would show the truth about someone, Allah does that by testing that person. So Allah subjected the shaitan to a test by creating Adam and then asking shaitan to bow down to Adam. And shaitan refused. Now everybody can see that shaitan is an evil guy. Why? Because now he refuses the orders of Allah. So now it's obvious to everybody. The truth is obvious to everybody about who truly Shaitan is. Okay? So he's no longer being honored as the best creation of Allah because he worships Allah like an angel, but he's not an angel. Okay? He's no longer able to deceive others using these that by claiming by pretending to worship Allah because he loves Allah. No, he worships Allah because he loves the, he's being honored that he's worshiping Allah, honored to be the best creation. So when Allah asked him to bow down to Adam, I mean, he said no, because I'm better than him. I mean, he said, I am better than him. No, I'm not going to bow down to him, because the bowing down, the one is more honorable, okay, is the one who is being bowed down for. The most honorable will bow down, the less honorable will bow down to the more honorable. So he said, oh, he's not better than me. And he refused to worship Allah. And in this way, he showed the truth about himself. He showed his ugly face, basically. And everybody now figured out that he was used to worship Allah because he's being honored as the best creation of Allah. And when this status was threatened, okay, by asking him to bow down to Adam, then the truth about himself appeared. And then he showed that his ugly, true ugly face. So Allah will test us by these tests of submissions to show the truth about us, so that we prove who we are by making choices, by making choices. Okay. Temptations are evil motives. Give examples: selfishness, greed, ego, love of power, love of money, and etc. etc. Okay, now here is we have evil motives related to the shaitan, and we have the shaitan as an evil motive, and we have our own temptations and desires and lower desires and inclinations as an evil motive. Now, how do I know which the source of the whether who is the source of the bad motives? What shaitan does, shaitan has the ability to start the feeling. So if we talk about jealousy, for example, shaitan is able to start the feeling of jealousy, which is an evil motive. But now, and shaitan basically is able to do this for everybody. Shaitan has the ability to start up the feeling of jealousy for everybody. Now, the good and the bad, the good person would reject this feeling and say, Astaghfirullah, and he will just not think about it. Stop it and make it not think about it. Think about something else other than this. Think about something else other than this temptation that has been started by the shaitan, which is jealousy. And this way, the temptation will die, and then the person made a good choice by not listening to the to the temptation, to the jealousy, the feeling of jealousy. On the other hand, the bad person is going to let the, when he, Shaitan starts jealousy, he's going to accommodate this feeling and make it grow up, up, up more and more, and become, increases the jealousy because of his, him on his own. So, for example, the feeling of jealousy turned Qabil and Habil, the example of Qabil and Habil, the two children of Adam. Qabil is the bad guy, Habil is the good guy. Abel, Cain and Abel. Cain is the bad guy, Abel is the good guy. What happened is that everybody liked Abel because he was nice, and people disliked Cain because he was mean. Okay, so the shaitan threw jealousy into the heart of Cain, and instead of stopping this feeling and thinking about something else, okay, change the subject, think about something else, he accommodated the feeling and he allowed the feeling to grow, the feeling of jealousy to grow inside him by thinking, saying to himself, everybody likes Abel, nobody likes me, everybody likes to be the friend of Abel, nobody wants to be a friend of me. Even Abel, without, I mean, since Abel was born, I didn't have any good days. People hate me because of Cain, because of Abel, and etc., etc., etc. So he allowed the feeling of temptations to grow into him, to become stronger and stronger and stronger with time. It kept increasing because he allowed it to increase, and he is accommodating it until it converted him into a monster. The feeling of jealousy converted him into a monster that killed his own brother. I mean, his brother was asleep and his head was on a rock, and what Cain did, he carried a big rock and he dropped it over his brother's head. He smashed his head. Okay, that an act like that is not done by humans. This is not human act. That's a monster act. That's an act of a monster. And the question, who turned that person, human, into a monster? It's the feeling of jealousy. The feeling of jealousy grew strong and stronger and stronger and stronger until it reached to the point of making him do such an evil thing that's not done by humans. It's done by monsters, really. Okay, so basically, Shaitan starts the temptations for everybody. Good people will kill that temptations, will not think about it, we're going to dismiss it, is not going to allow it to grow, and but bad people are going to accommodate the feeling, they are going to feed that feeling until it grows up, 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 until it motivates, becomes strong enough to make them do something so evil and so bad. Okay. If that's the job of the shaitan. Also, shaitan's job is to inspire us with evil ideas and evil thoughts as well. Okay. What are the good motives? The good motives are three: the love of Allah, the desire to go to Jannah, and the fear of hellfire. These are
Wait,
three.
I have a question.
So the good motives are love of Allah, love of Jannah, and fear of hellfire. Okay? It's a motivation to sacrifice precious time and precious money for the sake of Allah. Okay? It motivates us to fast. It motivates us to pray five times a day. It motivates us to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. If there is no, and remember that we have to believe in Jannah and believe in hellfire in order for us to, because these are two of the good motives. And we have to love Allah. So these, when I sacrifice things, I sacrifice things because I love Allah and I want to go to Jannah. And I'm afraid of hellfire. So that's why I sacrifice precious time, precious effort. Like, for example, someone, a teacher who's teaching in the weekend Islamic school. And it's a volunteer thing. Now, that takes time, precious time from the weekend. Or a student who is attending the classes also take precious time from the weekend. Now, if there is no love of, if there is no, if there are no good motives, if there is no love of Allah, love of Jannah, fear of Jahannam, hellfire, then what is going to be motivating me to sacrifice my precious time in the weekend? Why would I? What would motivate me to pay charity and pay money for? Why? What? There will be no motives for that. Okay, so that's why we need these good motives for to pull us to the and to give us to motivate us to do good, and then we choose. It's a test of submission. We choose between the good motives and the evil motives. Okay. Now, people, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. Okay. And He forgives us. Now, He forgives us except one thing that He doesn't forgive, which is worshiping other than Him or associating other middle gods with Him. So, for example, Allah will forgive everything with repentance. So, if I ask you, what is it? What is the bad deed, or what is the deed that Allah will never forgive with repentance? The answer was going to be none. There is nothing that Allah will not forgive with repentance. You repent, you're forgiven. Okay. Then, if you do it again, then one bad deed, one point of bad deeds is written for you. Then you do it again, then you repent, it's wiped off, it's a zero. You do it again, then you get one bad deed again. You repent, you get zero. Now, it's not that you do a bad deed, you get one point of bad deeds added. You repent, they become zero. You do it again, becomes two. Repent, zero. You do it again, becomes 3 points. You repent, becomes zero. You do it again, then it's 4 points of bad deeds. You repent, they go to zero, and et cetera, et cetera. It's not, it doesn't, it's, this is not the case. Because Allah is too generous to take His forgiveness back. So you do a bad deed, it's 1 point. You repent, it's zero. You do it again, it's a 1 point. It's not two, it's 1 point. Why? Because the previous forgiveness is not taken away. Allah's too generous for that. And Allah will never stop forgiving you until you stop repentance. Then this is when the forgiveness of Allah stops. As long as you're seeking forgiveness, as long as Allah is going to forgive you and continue to forgive you. Okay? And there is nothing, because the forgiveness is Allah's infinity. And there is no evil deed that is bigger than infinity. Okay? So Allah will always forgive anything. Even worshipping middle gods or associating with Him or worshipping other gods is forgiven by repentance. When after repentance, the person is forgiven. But on the other hand, we need to keep in mind that if you don't repent, then you, Allah may forgive you or may not forgive you. That is a possibility that you get forgiven for whatever reasons Allah has to forgive you, or you might not get forgiven. And Allah decides about that. But no guarantees of forgiveness because you did not repent. Okay? But there is one single deed that will never be forgiven without repentance, which is the associating of Allah, worshipping, making equals to Allah, worshipping middle gods. You know, people worship middle gods because they say we are too small to get the attention of Allah. Allah doesn't know us, and Allah doesn't listen to us. We need to go through middle gods, so we have middle gods that are small enough to listen to us, to listen to our prayers, and big enough to get the attention of Allah and to deliver the deeds to Allah. This is why people worship middle gods, okay? Or people worship other gods as well, and not middle gods, but people worship gods that are not going to be middle gods, but they are the ultimate gods. So these deeds are not forgiven without repentance. So if I ask you, what would Allah forgive all sins without repentance? The answer is no. Allah may forgive what He wants to forgive, what He wills, and may not forgive what He wills. Okay. But if you make partners with Him, if you do shirk, association with Allah, or make partners or take middle gods or worship alternative gods or deny the existence of God, then that's not forgiven. That's not forgiven without repentance. Okay. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the non-believers on the tongue of the prophets, when the prophets go and say to non-believers, pay charity. The non-believers say, well, why should we feed the person that if Allah wanted, he would have fed himself? Why should we feed that poor person? It's the job of Allah to feed him. If Allah decided not to feed him, then why should we do that? And the response is simple, that doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah can forgive a person if he wants to. Allah can forgive that person if he wants to. Allah can feed that poor person if he wants to, okay? We're not testing Allah. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that he can do it, okay? We're not testing him. We're testing you. You're testing you whether you're going to do it or not. Okay? So we're not testing Allah. We know that Allah can do it, but it's your responsibility now. Let's see if you're going to do it or not. Okay? So that's how you respond to this such an argument. To such a silly, ridiculous argument that we don't want to feed them because Allah is the one who's supposed to feed them. And